Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
James Flanagan from County Tipperary is with me here on the programme today. James, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us on the show. You might bring us back and tell us a little bit about when you were first diagnosed with MS.
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2014. I was working in Shannon Airport. It was an aircraft mechanic at the time, and I just felt fairly unwell, and I went to see the company doctor, and he was a bit perplexed at my symptoms, and he said, look, I'll have to refer you to a neurologist and get some tests done. And yeah, the neurologist, he tested me, gave me MRI tests and a few other tests that went on over a number of months. And he was able to tell me that I had multiple sclerosis.
And those symptoms that you first noticed, James, what were they?
So at the very start, I suppose the very first couple of symptoms was a wetness sensation in my legs. It was a very strange feeling. I felt that my legs were really cold, that liquid was spilt on them. And obviously, it was nothing on my legs. When I spoke to the doctor, he said, look, this is going to need an MRI scan to find out what this is. It sounds like a neurological issue. So they took a scan, and yeah, sure enough, there was shadows, or what they call lesions, on my spinal cord, and that's where the cause of the symptoms
came about. How long did it take to get that diagnosis, James? All in, roughly.
So yeah, it took a good few months, because multiple sclerosis is unusual, in a way, that's the right word. It's not very simple to diagnose MS. Whereas with other conditions, you might be able to do a scan and see quite quickly where the problem is. With MS, it's quite sinister, but it's just, yeah, peculiar that it might show up on some scans, it may not. You might have to go for a lumbar puncture test. You may have to do nerve conduction tests, which I had to do, and all that obviously takes a bit of time. All in all, I'd say about 6 months. Yeah,
okay.
6 months.
So after you got that diagnosis, did you move? You moved to the UK, did you, at that point?
That's right, yeah. So I had just finished my training, and I was just qualified as an aircraft maintenance engineer. So I said to myself, this is my chance to live my dreams. Live what I wanted to do for the last 10 years I was training. I wanted to get out, enjoy the world a bit, and see a bit more. So I went and I worked in the UK. I worked for a company, an airline called EasyJet. I worked with EasyJet as an engineer, kind of supervising maintenance across Europe, based in London.
Obviously, because you were there and you were based in London, it meant you had access to the NHS and the kind of, I suppose, healthcare provision that's provided through that. What sort of services were available to you?
Well, like, the NHS is renowned. They really are. They're amazing. I was actually taken on board at Addenbrooke's Hospital in Cambridge for a clinical trial, just to be involved with a clinical trial was amazing.
Yeah,
just to have that sense of hope and that sense of focus from a clinical team to be looking at your scans, it was amazing. The NHS is amazing. They're so quick. And I'll give an example. I remember I had to go for an MRI scan on a Saturday morning. I was thinking to myself, this is impossible. I'm going to be here till Monday. But scan happened instantly, you could say, and the next half an hour got done. And I said, well, sure, look, we won't get the results now until the radiologist sees them during the week. Oh, no, the radiologist is here in the next half an hour.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is Saturday. What is going on?
Yeah, able to give you the results on a Saturday morning.
Amazing. And not only that, was he able to give me the results straight away, but I got a message to my phone to say, here are the results. This all happened in the space of an hour on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I was shocked. Yeah. But that's the NHS for you.
And in terms of managing the MS at that point, how able were you to kind of, to manage that at that stage, James?
At the time, I could feel the MS. I suppose it was kind of in the background. It was always on my mind. I often say to myself, that MS from the moment I was told I had MS in 2014, that it's been on my mind every step I've taken since 2014. And it was no different when I was working for EasyJet in the UK. I was really enjoying the work. I loved travel, but it was always there. It was always burning away in the background. And yeah, it just got more and more difficult. I could feel my legs becoming weaker and weaker. And yeah, it was just really difficult there towards the end.
Yeah. Was it at that point you decided to come back home to Ireland?
That's right. So it was a chance meeting I met a colleague by pure chance, a former colleague from working in that position, Shannon, back in 2014. I met a colleague in a junction on the M8 on the way home from the airport one time.
Was coming
home from EasyJet. And he said to me, he says, would you ever consider coming to work with this company that he was now working for in Shannon Airport? And I said, look, leave it with me. So I had to think about it. And I said, you know what? With MS, everything that was going on, I said, this is actually the perfect time to jump ship again.
Yeah,
but it was really hard.
To move back. So you came back home. You're living in your home county of Tipperary. You're in South Tip. Is that right, James?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
South Tipperary.
And therein kind of lies the problem, isn't that it?
Yeah, so I know the Neurological Alliance of Ireland have been doing great work in advocating for this. So there's a problem in the southeast region of the state where we don't have a neurological rehabilitation service. And neurological rehabilitation is obviously really important for people who have a neurological condition, a chronic illness, a serious injury, maybe a spinal cord injury or a brain injury, to rehabilitate them and to constantly care for them. And we don't have that in the southeast. We have it in every other region of the country, but not the southeast.
And why is that?
Because I live... Oh, there's so many reasons why it's not it's frustrating. But when it comes to the HSE, there's so many problems. Pick a problem. There's so many issues. And why is that? Lack of accountability, lack of responsibility. There's not enough people who's managing the HSE who have skin in the game. Like, if you were to, you would not get away with this in the private sector. Absolutely scandalous what's going on.
So the staff and probably allowed, too, and maybe...
Just to be clear, the staff for the HSE are amazing.
Oh, I know.
Every doctor, every neurologist, every nurse I've ever met, every physiotherapist, all the primary care, the OTs, amazing.
Brilliant at what they do.
The structure, the system.
In terms of how it works.
And you would not be allowed to run this in the private sector. And you can see... as mental as it sounds, but you can see why in the United States the private sector, got a hold of the healthcare system over there, because to some degree the private sector are better at managing this kind of thing. Things happen, problems are solved. People take ownership, they have responsibility of issues, and they get solved, and it doesn't just get let go.
So, because of where you're living, because of basically your air code, where you're based in your home, is it fractionally inside the South Tip border? Is that why, James?
Yeah. So, I live just maybe 7 miles inside the border of South Tipperary. So, because you're in that region, you don't have access to the neurological rehabilitation units that we just spoke about. And why is there no neurological rehabilitation, which are for all those problems I just spoke about?
Yeah. So there is obviously a desire, I suppose, to get a team up and running, and we've contacted the HSE in relation to that. But at the moment, there isn't this neurological rehabilitation within the community that you're living in that you can access. So what does that mean for you and your treatment?
So for me, I'm lucky enough to have full-time employment, and I'm paying for my own physical therapy. I get that every week without fail for the last 5 years, and it possibly cost me about, I'd say, €5,000 per year to pay for physical therapy. It's quite expensive, but it's all I can do. There is no other way of doing it here. I don't have any other there's very little available to me in this state, in this region of the state, like I said.
So if you were just a couple, we'll say, for instance, I'm just trying to think about this. If you were just a few kilometres up the road in Thurles, you'd probably be able to access the HSE Midwest region. Is that right? And they have this neuro rehabilitation team.
Exactly. That's right. And they have it in Northtip. It's available in Northtip, but not available in the south.
Yeah, so because you fall within the Dublin and South East HSE region, there's one team there, and they're based, I think, in Bray, aren't they, in Wicklow?
Yeah, they're in Wicklow, I believe. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so that means that you're forking out $5,000 a year yourself, James.
$5,000 a year myself, but also, like, this is physical therapy I'm getting. A neuro rehabilitation unit has a neuro physical therapist. Like, it's not the same type of physical therapist you would get if you sprained your ankle or have a tennis elbow. These are people who are focused on dealing with, stroke symptoms, obviously multiple sclerosis symptoms. They're focused on helping you manage these symptoms. So, like, I'm doing my best, but it's not ideal. And it's obviously got a huge cost.
And obviously it's the Neurological Alliance of Ireland, the NAI, that are obviously speaking on behalf of yourself, James, and so many others living with the condition and others across the country. They are calling for this team to be put in place without delay.
That's right, yeah. Magdalene Rogers is doing great work with the Neurological Alliance of Ireland in advocating for this. And they've been doing so for a while now, but we can't make it happen. In a budget 2027, where we have all massive amounts of surpluses in our budget, we can't look after people who are this sick. It's a crying shame. It really is.
And just to kind of maybe give people, a little bit of an insight into the kind of support and help, James, that this would give you, aside from the €5,000 plus, in the financial cost of all of this, but like this has actually been able to get access to neuro rehabilitation, it's neuropsychologists, it's the OT, it's the physio, is it? Like, it's a whole host of people that are there under one roof able to help.
That's right, it's like a focused clinical unit for neurological conditions. And I was lucky enough and privileged enough to be able to access P-Mount Healthcare, which is a neuro rehabilitation unit in P-Mount, just outside Dublin. And I experienced that in early 2022. I went into their care with almost being wheelchair bound and was able to walk 1,800 steps per day when I came out.
Yeah.
But that was 3 years ago.
I've
lost a lot of ground since then. That's the benefit. But you're losing ground. Neurological conditions are like sinister in a way. They can be progressive. So you're constantly fighting against yourself. You're fighting against the disease. There's no cure for a lot of diseases, but you're trying to manage symptoms by trying to push your body as far as you can. So having a neurological rehabilitation unit can really empower the person to keep fighting. It's really important.
And when the NAI, when the Neurological Alliance of Ireland have been in touch with those in the HSE to try and find out when will this be put in place, has there been any date or kind of even an estimated timeline been provided?
Not that I know of. I know we're very hopeful for budget accommodation this year in 2027. But it's just fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed it'll happen. It's not just you, though. In that region that's been affected, James, by all of this. I'm sure there's many others today listening.
And absolutely. I'm speaking here and I volunteered to speak today. Not because I want it for myself. Like I said, I'm very privileged. I'm able to work. I go to work every day. But there's people who have no voice in this, and I can only imagine my heart is breaking for them.
Yeah.
They're probably listening right now, and they're not able to voice this. And they are struggling with it. And they don't, and a lot of, even more people probably don't even realise how much they need neurological rehabilitation. They just don't know how good it is. And I got a taste of that in 2022 in P-Mount, and it was life-changing.
Well, according to the NAI, nine teams were promised back in 2019, one for each of the then nine HSE admin areas. Eight of the teams have been funded, six up and running, and they include a whole host of different services that you've mentioned that are really vital and well-serviced provisions as well. We've been on to the HSE ourselves, James, about all of this to try and find out why you can't access this neuro-rehabilitation community team because of where you're currently currently living. They've sent us back a fairly long and a lengthy statement, and I'm happy to send that on to you, James, but maybe just to give you a little bit of a snapshot, they tell us today that the community neuro-rehabilitation teams, they're specialised, they're multi-professional teams providing neuro-rehabilitation in the community to people with conditions and needs. We regret any difficulties patients are experiencing accessing local neuro-rehabilitation services. The community teams in the HSE Southwest, in Dublin Southwest, in Dublin South City, in Kildare, it goes on and on. They're all now live, so they're the ones I mentioned. Recruitment is progressing for the uplift of the existing team in the Midwest. Funding was secured in the budget for this year for a team in Dublin, the North East, Dublin and Midlands. To uplift the existing services as well in Donegal. Moving forward with the strategy, the plan will be to fund those IHAs as well, you know, that are also there, and for areas that don't have them, and to enhance the existing services to create a large population base as well through the community neuro-rehabilitation team with each of the areas. And moving forward, the plan is to try and enhance the fund that's there as well, particularly for the areas that don't have access to these services. So certainly happy to send that on to you. James, listen, thanks a million for sharing your story with us today. I know it's very frustrating for you, and I can see even others getting in touch in that catchment who just don't have access to those services yet. But hopefully, fingers crossed, that will change in the near future.
Andrew, just before you finish, that all sounds great, but like, I spoke with someone just an hour ago and they told me there's a 10-month waiting list for the services that's available in North Tipperary. So like, yeah, it all sounds great, but you've just read out to me and I'm looking forward to hearing it. But yeah, even for the clinics that are available, there's a 10-month waiting list for it. So
that's the kind of service.
All I can say is make it happen. Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, James, look after yourself, and we really appreciate you sharing your story with us in the programme today. That's James Flanagan there from County Tipperary. The email, if you want to get in touch, is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.